morning. Boker Tov to everybody. Thank you for coming. I'm pleased to announce that today's shiur is sponsored by Ziva and David Katz in loving memory of Ziva's mother, Tova Feld, Tova Bat Shalom Alei HaShalom, whose yahrzeit is on the 18th of Elul. Our shiur, please God, should be an aliyah for the neshama. We should learn some good Torah in her memory. And as I say frequently, we're very happy to receive sponsorship for the shiur. Please speak to the OU if you're interested. So, as promised, today's topic is a current one, coming up to Rosh Hashanah, which is the issue of davening at Kivrei Avot, going to Kivorim. Now, what could be there to, what could there be to say about this? And the answer is lots. There are a lot of sources on the sheet. The good news is that they're short and they're fairly straightforward. The challenge with this particular topic is not like shaving, which was much more complex in the concept. Here it's just about stringing it together, I think, and putting it into clear categories so that we understand what the upsides are and what the downsides are. Next week, which is a kind of continuation of this, I'm getting into the equally, I think, fascinating topic of how we relate to Malachim, which are, like, for want of a better translation, angels. This is a big topic for us. You might think, what could there be, halacha l'maisa, to say about Malachim? The answer is, more than you think. And our davening at this time of year becomes a little bit more malach-focused as we get into Slichot. And there are a lot of very serious hashkafic issues that come up when dealing with that. But that's for next week. Today, we're dealing with Kivrei Avot. Many people will know that there is a well-founded minhag, we'll see the Shulchan Aruch soon, for people to go to the cemetery before Rosh Hashanah. I'm sure many people are familiar with that. Certainly in Chutz Laaretz, I remember that was very common. And of course, there are now tens of thousands of people who go every year to Ukraine, to Uman. Last year there were 30,000 at least in Uman, and they go to the Kever of Rabbi Nachman. Why? Why do they go? What are the upsides? What are the downsides? What are they meant to be doing when they get there? Is it even allowed to do that, to leave Eretz Yisrael, to go to Uman? Are we short of Kivrei Avot in Israel to visit, etc.? What I want to do, after a brief introduction, is give you five reasons, upsides, yes, to go to Kvarim, and six reasons, downsides, no, to go to Kvarim. Or at least to be careful when you're there, not to go, but to be careful when one's there as to how one does it. Don't read anything into the five and the six. I'm not trying to make a statement as to which side I'm on this particular issue, but I divide it in that way. First of all, by way of introduction, the first reference in Tanakh to anyone being buried or going to be buried is actually to Avram Avinu. Even though Sarah was, of course, buried first in Parshas Chayei Sarah, already in Parshas Lech Lecha Hashem says to Avram, don't worry, you will be buried in a good old age. And of course, eventually his wife dies, and he buries in Maraz HaMachpelah, and he dies as well. But the place to start, I think, is not with Maraz HaMachpelah, but not with Avram Avinu, but with a later reference to Maraz HaMachpelah. Look at number one. This is a very famous source. This is where you'd expect a shiur of this nature to start. The Ya'alu B'Negev. They went up to the Negev. This is talking about the spies on their trip around Israel. Vayavon ad Hebron, and he, singular, came to Hebron. Vesham achiman sheshai v'talmai yelidei anak, etc., etc., and this is where the following people used to live. Why did they go up, meaning the spies en masse, and why did he, singular, go to Hebron? Rashi, very famous, I'm surprised if there's anyone here that doesn't know this Rashi, but let's look in number two. Kalev levado halach, Jam. Only Kalev went there. V'nishtateach al Kivrei Avot, and he prostrated himself, he bowed down on the Kivrei Avot, Shaloye Nisa Bechavirav Lehiyot Ad Ben Satam, so he wouldn't be enticed into the advice, into the pressure, the peer pressure of the spies, V'chein Umeh, and so we see later, he quotes in Dvarim, V'lo Eten Et Ha'aret Asher Darach Ba, I, says God, I'm going to give to Kalev that specific land that he went. So he brings this as a proof. There is an area Kalev went that the others didn't go. And lo and behold, we see the beginning of Shoftim. And it says, Vayitnu leKalev et Hebron. Kalev got Hebron. Okay. Kalev goes to Hebron. Why? What did Rashi say? Lehishtateach v'nishtateach al Kivrei Avot. He bowed down on the Kivrei Avot. What did he do there? Interestingly, Rashi, we'll soon see the Gemara that Rashi is getting this from. Rashi changes the language of the Gemara very subtly but importantly, and he doesn't give you the full story. And I wonder whether there's a reason for that. But we'll see later in the Gemara, which is Rashi's source, what Caliph did when he went there. But that is the first reference, if you like, for someone going to pray or to visit Kivrei Avot. Of course, there are other famous Kvarim in Tanakh. Most specifically, the first one we see with a marker is Kever Rachel. Okay, number three, V'tamat Rachel v'tikabe b'derech Efrata. Rachel dies on the way to Efrat. He bet Lachem, and this is obviously on the way to Bet Lachem. V'yachsev Yaakov Matseva al Kuvurata. The first time we ever see a Matseva, a stone marker, a gravestone, he puts that on the grave. He Matsevit Kvurat Rachel ad hayom. Interesting. By the way, ad hayom is always a very interesting ad hayom hazeh code phrase in Tanakh as to what's going on. I refer you to Rav Amnon Bazak's recent sefer called ad hayom hazeh, if you're interested in all the background in that phrase. But up until this day, says the Tanakh, there is a marker on Kever Rachel. And of course, Kever Rachel is very uniquely referred to later as a place marker. When Shaul is anointed, and I'm not going to get into the source in depth, in number four, when Shmuel anoints Shaul, he tells him, the first instruction he gives him is he says when he anoints him, in Pasuk Bet, number four, "Belechtecha hayom mi'imadei," when you leave me today, says Shmuel, "umatzata shnei anashim," you will find two fellows in Kfurat Rachel b'gvul Binyamin, at the burial place of Rachel, at the border of Binyamin, and he goes on to tell him what to do there, etc. In parentheses, of course, there is a fascinating discussion as to exactly where is Kever Rachel. And there are many sources to bring on this. If you're interested, there Yitzhak Et Shalom. Rav Yitzhak Et Shalom in Los Angeles, if you know him, has written some excellent forum on Parshanut. And he has an essay in one of his forum there on all of the evidence for, against, exactly different places where they think Kever Rachel could possibly be. Certainly when you look at the Psukim in isolation, it sounds more like it's to the north of Yerushalayim than to the south, but that's a separate issue. I think probably well known, the Ramban, in his commentary on Chumash, when he wrote an addendum, he wrote an appendix when he made Aliyah to Eretz Yisrael, and he wrote some comments, the things he discovered when after he made Aliyah. And he writes there that I always assumed from the Chumash and from Tanakh, says the Ramban, that Kever Rachel was to the north of Yerushalayim. And when I came to Yerushalayim, I saw everyone's going to visit a Kever to the south of Yerushalayim. So in some way I got it wrong, and it's to the south of Yerushalayim, but you can look there, there's some fascinating things. Well, somebody once put it very nicely. Everybody agrees that Kever Rachel is to the south of Yerushalayim. Makom Kvurat Rachel Imenu, maybe to the south, maybe to the north, that's a different discussion. And the question is whether where the exact location is of Rachel's burial may not be actually relevant to go to Kever Rachel, where people have been davening, Jews have been davening for hundreds and hundreds of years, is itself obviously something of value because of the makom of the tefillah there. But anyway, the Matseva on Kever Rachel, look at the Malbim number 5, that's the whole point. Why did it say ad hayom? Every generation has to keep Kever Rachel fresh, has to renew the marker, so that we know where Rachel is buried. Why is she buried there? Famous idea. So the Jewish people will daven at her Kever on their way out to the Gola, which is another interesting point. If you're on the way out to Babel, where are you headed? North or south? That's a separate question. Okay? Omer, ki yitziv matseva, kedei shetiyeh kayemet ad hayom ba'achrit hayamim. All the way through until the end of day, she yitzarchu ledat makom kvod. We need to know where Rachel is buried. And of course, it's a reciprocal arrangement. I brought you the posik in Yirmiyahu, Yerachel Mavakal Baneh, that not only are we davening at her kever, but she's crying and davening for us, etc. There's this symbiotic relationship. But again, this begs the question, what are we doing at Kever Rachel? What are we meant to do when we get there? We can sing the sweaty songs, Mama Rochel and all that stuff. How does that fit with the, how does that fit with the sources? What are we meant to be asking Mama Rochel for? If we're asking Rachel Imenu to daven for us, who are we meant to be davening to? Rachel Imenu or Hashem? And how does that work? So let me give you 5 good reasons to visit Kivrei Avot. And then we'll talk about the downsides. Number one, it's good for tshuva. That is the Inyan Hayom, the Mitzvah Hayom, tshuva. Have a look in the Gemara number 7. The Gemara asks our question in Tanis. Lama Yosin Le Beit HaKvaros. Why go to a Beit HaKvaros?
It's exactly our question, says the Gemara. Why go to a cemetery? Pligi bar Rabbi Levi bar Rabbi Chama bar Rabbi Chanina. Two Amoraim disagreed on this. Chad Amar, one of them said, Hari anu chashuvim lefanecha kamesim. Because it's to say to Hashem, as far as we're concerned, we're like mesim before you. Don't forget the context of this Gemara. The Mishnayot in Tanit says, it says in Atzirat Geshamim, if the rain has stopped for a certain amount of time, they institute increasingly significant and serious fast days until eventually there's a whole procedure. We don't do this anymore. We insert a little bit in Shmakolenu. That's all that's left, if you like, of our of that ancient ceremony. But they used to have in the town square a massive Atzirat Tfilah, and they had a special Shmona Esrei and a special laning, and then they afterwards, says the Mishnah, they would all go down to the Bet HaKvarot. Why? Said the Gemara, because to show that we are Hanu Hari Anu Chashuvim Lefanecha Kamesim. The second opinion, Chad Omer, which we'll get into in a minute, Kedei Sheyivakshu Aleinu Mesim Rachamim. So that the dead will pray for us. We'll see what does that mean, the dead will pray for us. Mai Beinayhu, what's the difference between these two opinions? Ike Beinayhu Kibrei Nochrim. According to the first opinion, that the whole point of going to the kever is to impress on us the need to do tshuva and to say, if we don't do tshuva, we're all finished, then why go to a Jewish grave? Go to any grave. Maybe it's better to go to a non-Jewish grave in many ways. And we'll see Tisha B'Av in a minute. We'll see right now Tisha B'Av. But according to the second opinion, which is that we want the mason to daven for us, well, you better go to someone who's going to daven for you, and there's no point going to the local graveyard behind the church, because that ain't going to help with the tefillah, but in terms of the tshuva, it might not harm, or we'll see a health warning in a minute. And exactly your point, Tosfos comes straight in and says on this Gemara, Yotzin lebeis hakvaros, mikan noigim b'chol makom leilich lebeis hakvaros for Tisha B'Av. This is where the minhag comes for people to go to a beis hakvaros and Tisha B'Av. See, Haribe Tisha B'Av, Havitanis Tzibur, Kamosha Hayo'os Mifnei HaGashomim. One of the few fasts that's left, which is similar to the fast for the Atzirat Geshamim, is Tisha B'Av. It's a very serious fast day, and what better to do after you finish Kinot than go out and daven, or visit, let's say, not daven, we'll see about davening in a minute, a graveyard. And this, in fact, is it's codified in Shulchan Aruch, looking number 9, when he talks about the fast days for Geshamim, Sheva Taniot Ha'elu, these 7 fasts that they have for a drought and a famine. Achashim et Palalim, after they daven, and that may be important, Yotzin Kol Ha'am Lebeis HaKvaros, Uboichim, Umitchananim Sham, they go down to the cemetery, they go cry there, they beg for mercy there, Kalayim, as if to say, Hare Atem Mesim Ke'elu, that we're all just as dead as these people here, Im Loi Tashuvu Midarchachem, if we don't do tshuva. Well, if he's there, says the Lord, according to this, Im Ein Kibri Yisrael, Hochim HaKibri Nochrim. What difference does it make, Jewish or not Jewish? The whole point is it's good for tshuva. The Mishnah Berurah just warns, number 10, the Mekom HaShemayim Gilulim, if there are statues and crosses and crucifixes and who knows what, Akibreim Bevadai Ein Nechon Litpalel Sham. Then certainly, don't down there. But in principle, the first reason to go to a kever is it's good for us, for our tshuva, for our anova, to see what is the ultimate end for all of us, and it helps us refocus on life. I always think to myself a sense of positivity when you visit a graveyard, when you visit a cemetery, and you walk out afterwards, and many people who are there do not walk out afterwards, and you think, oh, Baruch Hashem, the fact that I'm able to walk out of the Beis HaKvaros means that there's something for me to do, and hopefully that something is important. So that's reason number one. Number two, maybe it's good for our tefillah. Let's take a separate track. Look at number 11. This is already Erev Rosh Hashanah. Mechabsit, Mistaprim, Erev Rosh Hashanah. Says the Shulchan Aruch, we take a haircut, we wash our clothes, we have a shower, even though Rosh Hashanah is a Yom HaDin, we prepare with Simcha for Rosh Hashanah. The Yesh Mekomot, says the Shulchan Aruch, says the Ramah, Yesh Mekonot Nogim Lelech Al HaKforos, Ula Harbot Sham B'Tchinois, V'Noitnin Stach Al Ani. We go down to the Kforim, we daven, we give to Tchinois, and we give money to the Stachah. What is this for? This is a preparation for Rosh Hashanah. It's a little bit different from the Tisha B'Av vibe. It's a different kind of reason. So too with Erev Yom Kippur. After all the halachas of kaporas, and I'm not getting into kaporas now, whether you're into swinging the monies or the chicken or whatever it is. In number 12, Yesh Mekamot Shenogim Lelech HaKvaros, says the Shulchan Aruch, there are places where they go down to kaporas, Erev Yom Kippur as well. Well, a harbus for tzedakah, and again to give tzedakah, tzedakah, tzedakah. The Hakol Minag Yafa.
It's good. I like it, he says. It's good to go down to Kfaras and especially to give tzedakah. Again, this is not just to feel a sense of personal tshuva, but this is to arouse us to tefillah, etc. The Mishnah Brura explains number 13, the Beis HaKfaras hu makom menuchas ha-tzadikim, this is the place where the tzadikim are resting, the ha-tefillah nitkabla sham yoter. And I want to look a little bit more at why that would be. The tefillah works better there. Why does the tefillah work better, maybe, in the Beis HaKfaras than in shul? So the Droshas HaRan has a fascinating analysis. The Droshas HaRan, the Ran lived in Spain in the 14th century, and he wrote 12 Droshot, very, very, very interesting, in Machshevet Yisrael. And in the middle of the 8th Drosha, he has a little analysis of this, and you'll see something I think that you'll find very interesting. Number 14. Shekamoshu bizman beis hamikdash kaim, just like when there was a beis hamikdash. Hayama on hahu hamikdash makom muchan lachul shefa hanavua b'achokma. That there was a place. The Beis HaMikdash was a place which had a focus, a concentrated downflow of wisdom, of nevuah, etc. Ad she'be'emtza'ut ha'makom ha'hu, through the Beis HaMikdash, there was a medium, if you like, through that Beis HaMikdash, ha'yashofea kol Yisrael. You could bring more shefa, more downflow on kol Yisrael. Kein ra'u she'yanevim chachamim uchanim lekabel ha'chokma ha'nevuah, so too individuals in each generation, who are chachamim, who are the prophets, they are able to receive, they are a focal point for this downflow. Ad she'be'emtzotam yushpa shefa ha'hu al ha'muchanim mibnei doram. So that us, lowly people, if we're not the chachamim and the nevi'im, can use them as a, if you like, a lightning rod to bring that down. You're beginning to see, by the way, here, the embryonic ideas of the Rebbe. And what the Rebbe can be, how the Rebbe can be someone you can hang on to the Rebbe's coattails and he can schlep you up to Shamayim in that sense of Chassidus. Chassidus, of course, is 500 years after this, the Rosh Hashanah, 500 years after. But here you see already this idea embedded in Jewish thought that these people can be a focal point in that way. Gam im loy lishtafu iman. Even if we're not on the level, we can connect with them. They are like the Beis HaMikdash. Those individuals, as Chachamim Nevi'im, are like a portable Mikdash. And Ramban cuts off the Sof Seder V'Haya Ekev, and he brings the Ramban as well. Even while they're alive, these people are connected with the ultimate bond of life to Hashem. They themselves, he's making a lot of this, they are a Ma'on L'Shechina. These individuals are a resting place for the Shekhinah. As we see with the Kuzari obviously understood that there is an essential intrinsic difference between certainly a Jew and a non-Jew, and the Gedolei HaYisrael maybe have this segula definitely within them that we can connect into. Ulefikach behim tzal chachamim chassidim medorot. When we have these people in our generation, yes, shefa shufa aleim. They get the downflow. Ubeesam to ashar yes shofea al kol hamuchanim ibnei doram. Like we said, through them we can connect with that, etc. But kol sheken laosim shehem mitkarvim aleim mushtafim amayim. All the more so if you can connect with those people. The lo b'chayehim build that. And here's the key: not just when they're alive. Kigam achrei motam. Even after these people die. The place where they're davened, the place where they're buried, becomes the place that that focal point relocates to. This is a fascinating idea. The bones. I'm interested in the bones, he says. The bones themselves were a kli. They were a vessel to house this incredible magnet for downflow from Shemaim. So what's left is the residual effect of that life resides in the bones. Just remember that, because we'll see soon the Rambam comes along and says 180 degrees exactly the opposite of that. The Rambam will come around and say that don't think the tzaddikim are where the bones are. The tzaddikim are in the Beis HaMedrash, in the Sforim that they wrote. What are the bones? The bones are bones. So the Ran says, no, the bones are where the Shefa is most now concentrated. That's why the rabbi said that you should go and bow down and prostrate and daven at the Kibra Tzadikim. And daven there. He doesn't say daven to them, but daven there. Ki hatfila b'mokam ha'hu tiye rutsuya yoter li'maseh sham gufot asher chal aleihim kfar ha'shev ha'elokim. Because that's a place where tefillah works better. Because you're right at the source, just like if you were to go to the Beit HaMikdash and daven in the Beit HaMikdash, or to go into Har HaBayit or to the Kotel, whatever, to get closer. So that, so too, the place where the tzaddikim are buried, that is the place where your tefillah will work. So that's reason number two. Reason number one was for tshuva. Reason number two is it's a boost for our tefillah because of what we've seen. Go over the page, please. Reason number three. Schus. The tzaddikim have a schus. Says the Sefer Maharil, this is a very important source, and we'll see it referred to a number of times by later poskim. The Maharil was living in the 1400s in Central Europe, and he was one of the main codifiers of Minhag Ashkenaz. Maharil. Maharil Segel, he quotes the Maharil Segel, Masher Egina Lech Lebeit HaKvaros. Why do people go to cemeteries? To Kivrei Avos. Mishum de Bebeit HaKvaros Makam Menuchas HaTzadikim. This is the place where the tzaddikim are resting. Umitoch kach, and because of that, humakom kadosh v'tahor. It's a very interesting word. Kadosh v'tahor. Where a person is buried is a makom tahor. Is that what you would have thought? Where a person is buried is a makom tamei. But from this perspective, he says, it's a makom kadosh v'tahor. V'hatfila nitkabla b'yoter alad mas kodesh. Again, the same kind of idea, the tefillah is more accessible because you're standing on holy ground. He gives a word of warning, which we'll see is amplified soon. Do not direct your tefillahs at the mesim themselves, hashokvim sham, who are lying there. We'll see why soon. Ach yivakesh meit Hashem yitbarach v'davin ta'Hashem, sheyitein elav rachamim b'schut ha'tzadikim. And that's a third reason why you might go to Kivrei Avot. You go to say, look, I have tefillahs, I have my own wish to connect with Hashem. Don't do it for me. Do it for them. Look who they were. Well, I think this is a reason when people daven at the kever of Torah Shneira in Europe, or they go to, when I go to the daven of the Rambam's kever in Tveria. There's not much to do in Tveria, let's face it. It's not very, once you've been on a boat and you've done this and you've gone up and down the little shuk there that all sell the same stuff, you have to go to the Kever Rambam. But actually personally what I find most inspiring is I find it inspiring to daven at the Kever of the Rambam's father. Who's buried right there. Because if anyone ever had a schus to have children who were Gedolim B'Torah, it's the father of the Rambam. And so personally, I always connected with that Kever actually a bit more than the Rambam himself. Yes. Oh, we'll get to Moshe Rabbeinu in a minute. We'll get to Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Ben Maimon we know, but Moshe Rabbeinu we don't. So this course of the Tzaddikim is an incredibly important thing. That's point number three. Number four, and we've been skirting around this issue. Maybe we should go to the Kevarim so we can ask the others to daven for us. And here we begin to get onto slightly shaky ground, but we'll see there are many, many sources. Number 16. We saw this before. Lama yotzei lebeit HaKvaros. Why do we go to the Beit HaKvaros? We saw there was a machloikas. One person said, because we are like metim, for tshuva. V'chad amar kidei sheyivakshu aleinu metim racham. So they will daven for us. Now that source didn't say, we ask them to daven for us. Maybe it's like automatic. Maybe we go there, we daven, and that triggers something, and they daven for us. It didn't specifically say. The Marsha picks up on this in number 17 and says, "V'hachi itzu b'medrash." There's also a midrashic idea: "She'avos mevakshim rachamim aleinu," that the avos are asking for rachamim on our behalf. But again, it doesn't say that we specifically ask them to ask. However, the Gemara that Rashi brought at the beginning about Kalev does say that, and Rashi omitted the key words. And I wanted to look at this character number 18. V'yalu b'negev v'yavo ad Chevron. They came up to the Negev and he came to Chevron. This is Rashi's source. V'yavo miboyle. It should say v'yavo, plural. Why does it say v'yavo, singular? Amar Rava, so Rava says, malamed shepirish kalev me'avtad araglim. So Kalev separated himself me'etad araglim. V'halach v'nishtetech al-kibri ovis. And he went to bow down on the graves of the fathers. That's what Rashi said. But look how the Gemara continues. Amalahen, he addressed the Avos. Avosai, my fathers, Bikshu alai rachamim, please ask for mercy for me, she'naftel me'etat haraglim, that I should be saved from the advice of the Meraglim. And Yeshua kvar bikesh Moshe alav, and Yeshua didn't need that. Why? Because Moshe had already davened for him. Rachamim shenemav yikari Moshe liyoshev benun Yeshua. He added yud and a hey. Yoshiacha Hashem Yoshiacha ma'aseh roi meraglim. God should save you from the rabbi. And you see the connection here? Yeshua goes to Moshe to daven for him. Kalev goes to the Avos to daven for him. It seems to be a parallel in that sense. But clearly here, the Gemara says explicitly that you can ask the Avos to daven for him. Now, I don't know exactly, I didn't go into all the Mefroshei Rashi as to why Rashi didn't bring that. Whether that's a sensitivity, Rashi's not comfortable bringing the idea that you ask the Mesim. That's homework for you to think about. But for sure, Rashi quotes selectively and he decides what to bring there from that Gemara. But there are many, many other sources like this. Let me quote you two immediate of the Gemaras, and Herbert will get to Moshe Rabbeinu in one of them. Look at number 19 first. Number 19. Rabbi Mani, his son, Havakava, Matsari Le Beit Bei Nasiya. He was having trouble with the local Jewish authorities. The Bei Nasiya, the local Jewish president of the community, was driving him crazy, giving him a hard life. Ishtatacha Kav Kivra Davua. He went and bowed down on the kever of his father. Amalei, and he said to him, Abba, Hani Matsari Le. These people are driving me mad. Help me. Do something. Yumachada says the Gemara, one day Havukachalfehasam, so the people who were driving him mad were going past the grave. The imp could carry this to Sosehe, Saihu, and the horse's feet became stuck in the mud, and the Kiblu Alayu the Lokimatarile, and they couldn't get free until they'd agreed that they wouldn't bother Rebbe Mani anymore. He davened to his father, He explicitly addressed his deceased father, help me dad, because these people are not treating me right. And so too, the Gemara in Sotu with Moshe Rabbeinu, according to the Girsa of the Bach, looking number 20, Mipnei man istater kivrosh al Moshe me'enei basar of Adam. And that Gemara there is, gives all sorts of examples of how they tried to find the kever of Moshe Rabbeinu. And when they were on high, it looked like it was below them. And then they went down below and it looked like it was above them, and then they split, and half the people went up, and half the people went down, and each one thought that it was the other. They can't find it. Because the Pasuk says, no one will ever find it. One day, Hashem knew the Beit HaMikdash would be destroyed. And the Jewish people would be exiled from their land. They will come to the kever of Moshe. Moshe, but Osa Shah at that time, and they will cry the kever of Moshe. And they will beg Moshe. And they will say to him, Moshe Rabbeinu, amoid b'tfilah ba'adenu, daven for us. And then Moshe is going to get up, and he'll cancel out the decree. Because if Moshe's tefillah was strong when he was alive, think how much stronger it is now that he's not alive, says this Gemara. Which, by the way, is not an obvious point. Why would the tefillah of a tzaddik be greater after death than before death? That's an interesting question. And it kind of impacts on next week. The Rambam says that when we die, we become like malachim. So who's higher, a human being or a malach? Not such an easy question. And we'll deal with that a little bit next week. But that's why the kever was never found. By the way, if anyone's interested in early Aaron Rosell music, he set one of his early tunes to this particular girsa in the Gemara. That's just a piece of trivia. If you don't know who Aaron Rosell is, then that's fine as well. But the source is very clear. They're going to stand up and they're going to daven directly to Moshe Rabbeinu. So there's no shortage of Gemaras that say clearly you can daven to those who are no longer alive. Let's carry on in the number 21. This is on Tisha B'Av. The minhag is not to cook on Tisha B'Av in the morning until after midday. Says the Ramah, you go down to the grave immediately after shul, go over the page quickly to the Mishnah Berurah. Says the Mishnah Berurah, Shall Yisrael, better to go to Jewish graves, Kedei Sheivakshu Aleinu Rachamim, so they can daven for us. Say in ancient Yisrael, then if there are no Jewish graves, go to non-Jewish graves. Again, the Mishnah Berurah doesn't explicitly say you should ask them to daven for you. So they will daven for us, and we'll see that sensitivity soon, but certainly the idea that the Mesim daven for us is a real idea. So that's the fourth idea. The fifth and final idea before we get into the downsides is maybe it's good for those who have passed away for us to daven by the kever. Look in the Sefer Chassidim, number 23, Barzilai Hagiladi Amar. Barzillai Giladi, one of David HaMelech's friends, said, Amut Be'iri, I would like to die in my hometown. Says the Sefer Chassidim, why? Ki hana yesh lemeisim, because it is a benefit to those who have passed on, she'oyhavim holchim al kivreim, that their nearest and dearest and their family and their loved ones and their friends will go to the kever, umavakshin lishmatan toiv, and they will wish good things onto their neshama, mitzivim lahem ba'ofanim. And that actually does something on the, you already have to get into an understanding, which I certainly don't have any understanding of what happens to us after we die, but on a certain level it benefits those who have passed away for us to daven. So five reasons. Number one, for tshuva. Number two, it's good for our tefillah. Number three, we can daven in the schut of the tzaddik. Number four, we can ask the tzaddik to daven for us. And number five, it's good for the neshamas of those who have passed away for us to daven at the kfarim. At can, all the upsides. What are the downsides? So I want to give you six ideas here, which you've probably heard before, but I put them together to try and make sense out of them. Why not go to Kfarim? Says the Rambam, because there's nobody there. Who are you speaking to? Look in number 24. The Rambam quotes Maseches Smachot, one of the smaller Maseches Ketanot, and he deals with the following, number 24. We always put a tzion, we always put a gravestone marker on a grave. Uboinin nefesh ala keva. We mark it, we build, we put a matseva there. The Hatzadikim ein boinim lahem nefesh al kivroseihem. Very interesting. You shouldn't put a matseva on the grave of a tzaddik. That's very interesting. Today I don't think there's any great tzaddik without an even bigger matseva. Don't put a matseva there. Shedivreihem hein zichrona. Because it's not their bones that are their memory, it is their words. Just go to the Beis HaMedrash and open the Sfarim. It's much more productive. And says the Gemara here, the loyis na'adam levaka kvaras, and you shouldn't even go to the kvaras. Not only should you not put a matseva there, you shouldn't go there. And the Rambam in Hilchas Evel brings that exactly word for word. He says, don't put a matseva on the grave of a tzaddik, and the loyis na'adam levaka kvaras. Don't go to kvaras. Now, what kind of kvaras is he talking about? Is he saying don't generally, don't go to kvaras at all? And we'll see soon, there were people who took the Rambam at his word and said, you know something, we don't go to Kfarim. We just don't go, it's not what we do. And there are others, look in the Kesef Mishnah, who was the Bet Yosef, who wrote the Shulchan Aruch, but on his commentary on the Rambam, what's he talking about? He's saying, number 26, Mashakotav lo yibne adam levakeh kfaras. When the Rambam says, don't go to Kfaras, zesiyum mashakotav shedivreim she'ehem zichronam. He's talking about, don't go to the Kfarim of Tzadikim. Don't go to Kivrei Tzadikim. Read their books. Even though you might think you can remember them by going to their graves, you don't need to. Because they are remembered through their words and through their actions. That's what the Rivash says. According to the Rivash, the Rambam is saying, if you are going to go to the kever, just don't go to a kever of a tzaddik. Because you don't need to. And it may even be wrong. Because you're giving the impression that somehow going to visit the kever of Rav Shimon Bar Yochai is somehow doing something for Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. Open up the Zohar. Open up anything. Leaving aside the whole issue with the Zohar for now. I'm not even talking about that. Open up the words of Chazal and read them. Isn't that more of a connection with Chazal than going to a grave? Leaving aside the issue of where are the Kfarim located and what is this one, that, leaving that all aside. So the Rivash says, that's what the Rambam's saying, go to the kever of your relative, but don't go to the kever of a great tzaddik. Maybe your relatives were great tzaddikim, I'm not implying otherwise, but don't go to the kever tzaddikim. The Radvaz cannot take that. He says no. The Radvaz, or David Iman Zimra, a couple of hundred years after the Rivash says, that can't be what the Rambam means. Don't go to kever tzaddikim. Will perish. What does he mean? Look, a strange understanding of the Rambam. Levakeh hakforot. What does he mean, don't go to Kfarim, according to the Rambam? Hu litoyach hakever. Don't go to a kever and dig up the kever and dig up the body. Litkod etamet, and somehow wants to see the dead body. Vezeh yesh v'midarche moru, because that was a minhag of the non-Jews. They dig up the body and somehow connect with the body. Now, we might think this is very strange, but we'll see soon there are all sorts of kind of necromancy problems that the Torah deals with. Ways that people connected with the dead, which were highly unsavory, I don't think anyone would even think of doing such a thing. That's what the Rambam's talking about. Avalif kodak forest, but to go to visit Kiryat Tzadikim in Bachutz and stand outside the grave,
Ein chashash bezeh. What's the problem? V'chein nagu kol Yisrael livkodet ha-meseyem v'lishtateh ha-kibrehem. And that's minag Yisrael. Interesting. The Radvaz in North Africa and Israel is saying only a few hundred years later, minag Yisrael is to go to Kfarim. It can't be what the Rambam means. The Rambam must be saying, don't dig up the kever and open up the grave. It doesn't sound like that's what the Rambam means, but that's the only way he can explain the Rambam in order to make it fit with the minhag. But by the way, there were many people who were unhappy going to graves bichlal. I brought the Chasam Sofer, number 28. In Higu Yisrael, Gam Kein Levaker Alameisim, that there's a minhag now, he says, he was in Hungary in the 19th century, there's a minhag for people to go to Meisim, for Hayaroy La'atu. I don't think you should. I would like to prohibit it. I think it's a non-Jewish thing to go to graves. We don't do that. Interestingly, the Chasam Sofer says an interesting point. The reason there used to be a minhag to go to graves is because back in the day, they used to bury, first of all, in a cave. There were two stages to burial in the time of the Tanakh. They used to first bury in a cave, and then afterwards, a year later, they would go from the cave and take the bones and put them into the Kivrei Avot. Says there was always a concern up until modern times, and maybe even in modern times, that when you bury people, then lo aleinu, they might not be definitely dead yet. And therefore there was a concern. Now if you remember in Victorian times, you probably don't remember Victorian times, but you read about Victorian times, they'd have little bells, you know, attached to the, you know, not the Jewish graves, but so they could ring in case they woke up. There's the Chasam Sofer. Back in the day when they put the mace in a cave, that it was worthwhile going to check for a few days afterwards just to check there's no one knocking on the door trying to get out. He says, but once you started burying underground, then what's the point? Even if, God forbid, someone was to be buried alive, then it won't help to go back and visit there. So interesting, the Chasam Sofer brings that in, but he says there's no point in going to rest. So the first point that I want to make, why not go to Kibre Tzadikim, is because it's giving the wrong message. The idea that the Tzadikim are there, as opposed to around us in the Batei Sefer, and the Batei Midrash, and the Sfarim that we read. That's the first reason. Second, page 5. Doresh Alamim. There is a prohibition in the Torah. Let's look at the Pasuk. Lo yimasei b'cha ma'avir b'no ubito be'esh. All sorts of things that we are not allowed to do. Passing our children through fire, that's related to Molech. Kosem k'samim. You're not allowed to do magic. And there's a whole share to be given as to what's with magicians at kids' parties, or you go to these magic evenings and they cut people in half and make them appear at the other side. Is that a problem of test? Not for now. Mo'onen. You're not allowed to be a mo'onen, which is someone who believes in auspicious times, from the word onah. That Friday the 13th is an unlucky day to do things, or this is a lucky day to do things. U'menachesh. You're not allowed to be someone who is superstitious. That the black cat walks in front of you and therefore you're not going to do it, or you are going to do it, or whatever it is. U'mechashay, for witchcraft, all of these things, and on the back of that comes v'chovechaver, and these are all rituals they did with the dead. V'shoel of the Yudoni, and asking of an Yudoni, I'm not getting into what these are, very strange, you somehow put a bone in your mouth and the dead speak from under your arms, and all sorts of strange, strange things. V'doresh el ha-meisim, this is in the Pasuk, you're not allowed to be doresh, El Hamesim. Now what's Lidrosh? To ask. To demand. You can't go and demand things from Mesim. Is it therefore a problem to go to a cemetery and say to Mama Rachel, cry, because there are Shalom Mesim. You're not allowed to ask the dead to do anything. Maybe. So the main source to see on this is the Bach. The Bach brings the opinion here, number 30, of Rav Chaim Paltiel. Not so well known. One of the students of the Maram of Rottenburg from the Rishonim. Look at number 30. Ad ra'iti tshuva al shem moreno harav Rav Chaim Paltiel. I've seen a tshuva from Rav Chaim Paltiel, says the Bach. The Bach's writing in Poland in the 1600s. Al hanudrim leilech lebeit hakvaros. There are people who make a neder. I make a neder, they say, I'm going to go to the Beit HaKvaros, I'm going to go to see this tzaddik, that tzaddik, so that. Ksat, look at the words carefully, ksat haya nirek to doresh al ha-meisim. It seems a little bit like doresh al ha-meisim. He's not so emphatic about it. You will see later that became magnified into something more emphatic. But he's not so, but he thinks it's a little bit like doresh al ha-meisim. De Kalev shenishtate shenishtachach ha-kivri avos. When Kalev went to the kivri avos, Hitzpalel sham b'mokum kedusha kidei sheyitei tefilato nishma. Kalev was Kalev. And think about who he was. He was an Adam Godel, and he went to an amazing kever. So that works already. That's fine.
Avram, we see in Avram, when Avram goes and davens in the place that he used to be before, you see, therefore, that the place, the way you daven, if you're in the right kind of place, can make a difference. Inami also, alternatively, someone who insulted a dead person when they were alive, or maybe even after they died, there we find that. But for a regular person to go to a grave, when they don't really know what they're doing, and they're going to ask for the wrong things, and it's not such an amazing place to daven anyway. I've no idea why people, he uses the expression nashim, like it's often used in those days to mean people who are less educated, because that was the case. The women were usually less educated until recent times. Lesser educated people, why are they going to the grave? If you're a Talei, and if you're going to a grave like Kivrei Avos in Maaret HaMachpelah, Naniach, fine. But if you're Sam going, it's not a good idea. You'll get it all wrong. The ani ragil is toich behem bacharota. I always find a way to release that neder. The yatiru lehem aneder. I say, you know something? Ataras madarim, don't go to the grave. The yitin is stocker mashehayamotzi ala derech. Better to give to stocker the money you would have spent on the flight to Uman or whatever. The achakach yitin mashenisha. Give what's left, okay? Give what instead of shlech sacharum going to the graves. Vze yitin is stocker v'inatol mitzaka. Fine. So he says, I'd rather be release your neder, don't go to the graves, give the money to the stocker, because you probably get it all wrong anyway. And the Chai Odom takes this idea and ups it about three different levels. Have a look in number 31. Erev Rosh Hashanah, Nagu Shekulam Mit'anim. People fast on Erev Rosh Hashanah in many places. Umashkikim Harbi Kaidim Hayom, Umarbi Mitzlichos Ubividuyim. And people say, a long Slichos. I think everyone in this room is familiar with that. A long Slichos on Erev Rosh Hashanah. People go to Kforos. You see how that's been now amplified. You have to be very careful. Never address your specific concerns to the Mesim, he says, and ask for things from the Mesim. Because that's becoming close to Dorish HaMesim. Ask Hashem to daven in that he should give you in the tzchus of the mason. I would say to people when I used to run trips, we used to go to visit Kvarim, I said there are four ways to visit this kever. Either you can daven to the person who is buried here that they should help you. That's called Avodah Zorah, it's an Issa Doraisa, and it's a very bad idea. Or you should daven that they should daven on your behalf. That's questionable, and we're seeing now the ups and the downs. Or you should daven in the tzchus, that in the merits of the people who are there, Hashem should help you, that's fine. Or you should use the place as an amplification, like we said, that the place itself will raise your tefillah higher, that's also fine. But the Chai Odom is very unhappy about asking the Mesim to do anything on our behalf, and Rav Soloveitchik brings here the Rav Shechtin, the Nefesh HaRav, says, Minhag Mishpachat Rabbeinu, the minhag of Rav Soloveitchik's family, and this was indeed the minhag of the Briskas, of Alpi Agro, because of the Grodminik as well, Hayah Shaloi Lelech Lebetekvoros Levakel Kivrei Avos. They just didn't go. The Grod didn't go, and we'll see later. He writes to his wife never to go, and the Soloveitchiks and the Briskas didn't go. Shaloi Yeinir Chas L'Shalom Kedarei Shalom Eitim. And Rav Shechter brings a reason, because it becomes close to, and it looks like this. It's a Doraita of asking from the dead. I once heard this from him directly, he says, he thinks. And if you look in Halachic Man, and I found this in Halachic Man there on page 40, he gives a different reason why not to go to Kforim, where he has a whole story there about that he heard from his uncle, Rav Meir Bar Ilan, about the fact that the death is such a, to Halachic Man who lives in this world, he or she takes advantage of every single thing in this world to raise himself and connect himself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The idea of death is just the ultimate total depression. Because the idea of not being able to grow in this world is so deeply depressing, better not to go to Kforim at all, because it's going to take you away from what you're meant to be doing in this world. A second reason he gives, but clearly there were many people who were worried about Dorei Shalom Eitzim. So why is everybody not worried about Dorei Shalom Eitzim? You go to every single Levaya. They say the Nifta should be a Melitz Yosha, should Dabra and Shamayim to bring God. Every single one. I never heard anyone say, Dorei Shalom Eitzim. This is Doraita. Maybe not the time and the place to start having that discussion. But why does everybody do it? So there are five reasons why I think people say it's not a problem. And I'm not going to go in every source.
But the five reasons why this is not probably not Derech Shalai Meisim are as follows. First of all, looking at number 33. The Shulchan Aruch says, what is halachically, technically, Derech Shalai Meisim? He says, Derech Shalai Meisim, ze shemariv atma, if you starve yourself, the land of Beis HaKfaros, and then you sleep overnight in the cemetery, kedei shetishra alav ruach hatuma, so that a spirit of impurity will rest on you. That's Derech Shalai Meisim. Okay, so then what's all the fuss about? If that's Derech Shalai Meisim, nobody's doing that. They're going to the Kfarim, and they're asking the Nifter to daven on their behalf. They're not starving themselves and all night lying in the basic forest waiting for evil spirits to descend upon them. And therefore, many people said, look, I understand why people say it could be Derech Shalai Meisim, but it's really not. And the Bach, in the continuation of that piece that he quotes from Chaim Peltziel, number 34, he says, no, it's not a problem, it's not Derech Shalai Meisim, Menag Yisrael, and he ends up, he says, Ve'ein l'shum meire limnoyer levatel menagzeh. No halachic posting should stop people from going to the Kfarim. It's really not Derech Shalai Meisim. That's one reason why it's not a problem. Over the page. The second reason is the problem is Derech Shalai Meisim. And the Tzaddikim are not Meisim. They're Chayim. And the Zohar actually brings this. The Bach refers to a Zohar. And the Zohar therefore says, I'm not going to go through the whole thing in number 35, but it asks a question. Look at the beginning. Amar Rabbi Yitzhak B'shata De'Istrich Alman Amitra, when the people need rain, says the Zohar. Amar Zin L'Gabayim on my side. Why do they go to the dead? Ta'aktiv Derech Shalai Meisim La'asit. They ask the question, the Zohar. Doesn't it say you can't go and ask from the dead? It's Derech Shalai Meisim. Amar Leisa, he responded, the person he was asking, but Derech Shalai Meisim, Ela Meisim Dafka. It's only a problem if you go to the dead. Then Chai Alma, the Ainu Ma'alim, Akum, and go to non-Jewish graves and ask them for things. The Ishtachu Tadi Mason, they're dead and they stay dead. About Yisrael, but Jewish people, the In and Zakai Kshut Shlom Akaras. Isn't it true what Shlomo wrote? V'Shabeachani Et Amesim Shikfar Mason. I'm happy for the dead, said Shlomo in Kehelet, that they already died in the past. Bismana Achara, V'Lahashka, they did die, but they're not dead now. Shikvar Meisu Bahashta Enu Chayim, because now they are alive. And this is based on an idea in Brochus as well, the Zohar's bringing from that. Number 36, Ki Achayim Yodin Sheyimutu, says the Shlomo HaMelech in Kohelet. Number 36, the living know that they will die. Eilet Tzadikim, these are the Tzadikim Shebemisasam Nikru Chayim, that even when they're dead, they are still called alive. Shneemar Ubanayhu Ben Yoyada Ben Ishchai. Banayhu ben Yonah, it's called a Ben Ishchai. Why is he Ben Ishchai? Says the Gemara, Ben Ishchai, Atikula Alma b'nei Meitaninu, are those who are buried actually dead? No, we're all going to die? No. And a Ben Ishchai, Sha'afilu b'misato krucha. So the second reason why it's not Derech Shalai Meisim is, who's the Meisim? These people are really living in that sense. So too, the Maharal has a beautiful idea in number 37 in the Nesivas Olam, where he basically says the following. This will be a little bit of an introduction for next week's shir, but look carefully at number 37. Aval anu noigim loima machnisei rachamim machnisu rachamim lifnei bala rachamim. Now what's that a reference to? In Slichot. Machnisei rachamim. I'm not going to sing it for you now. Might sing it for you next week, you never know. Okay, because that's what we're going to focus on it. He says, I don't like that. The ein ze roi, ki dava ze ke'ilu mitpalele malachim. Because it's like davening to the angels, you may not daven to the angels. Shechnisu rachamim. V'loi matanuze. We don't like that. The hada amrin mesechet tanis, but when it says in tanis, kashi gazur tanis hayu yoytsin lebet hakfaras, kidei sheet palu aleinu meisim rachamim, ein ze she'anu mevakshim mena meisim. We're not really asking the dead to daven for a sheet palu aleinu. Rak she'anu holchim lebet hakfaras, umitchabrim lemeisim. We're just joining them in, says the Maharal. Shegam ha-meisim yitchabru l'chaim, so that we'll all be Klal Yisrael together, the dead and the living will join together. Yivakshu rachamim al Yisrael. Ki ha-meisim gam kel Yisrael, because the Jewish people, fascinating idea, doesn't just include the living. Klal Yisrael includes all Klal Yisrael, including the living and including those who are no longer living. Veheim oidim Yisrael u'mevakshim rachamim Yisrael, and they love the Jewish people and they will damn for the Jewish people, and the Chasam Sofer in a Tshuva brings this. And he says the same idea, just like you go to a tzaddik. Look in 39 for a second. Darav Barit Pinchas ben Chama. Kol sheyesh l'chayle b'toch beis. If you have a sick person, God forbid, in your house, yelech etzel chacham. Go to a chacham. V'yivakish alav rachamim. And the chacham will daven for you. Why? Why go to a chacham? What can a chacham do?
The answer is, an Adam Chacham, an Adam Gadol, can have a more of a connection, if you get into the whole understanding of Hashkacha process, certainly in terms of the Rambam, the greater the connection that the person has to God, the greater the Hashkacha that comes back in return, and therefore you go to someone who is better connected than you to join them in the tefillah. The same idea, if you can join more people to be bothered by the tefillah, again, getting into a whole discussion of Hashkacha is way beyond this shir. If anyone even knew how to explain how the Hashkacha works in this world, how God runs the world, that's a much, much bigger question. It's a whole series of shirim, and even then we will be left with more questions than answers. But nevertheless, we basically understand the idea that if more people are bothered by the issue, then that affects the cheshbon, that affects the calculation. If I have a problem and I'm bothered, that's one thing. But if I can get everybody else to be bothered as well, then that affects the way that Hashem, if you like, weighs that up. So just like in life, you bring in a living chacham on your side, so you bring in a dead one as well. Because the dead are not really dead, they're really alive and they're really part of Klal Yisrael. So says the Chacham Sofer, it's just the same as if I'd go to Lechaim Kanievsky and ask him to daven for me. So I'll go to Kivrei Tzadikim. They're not davening for me, they're davening with me. Sefer is not Derech HaLamisa. Another reason is the Shulchan Aruch writes, we'll see in a minute, but first of all the Maharam Shik, these are good tshuvas for you to look up later. Number 40, the Maharam Shik first of all writes, Derech HaLamisa means going to speak to the body, not to the neshama. And again, he brings it back to this idea we saw in the Rivash, that it's some kind of necromancy, and that's not what we're doing. And in fact, the Shulchan Aruch writes, look over on page 7 at the top, I think you'll find it's very interesting in the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch writes, there's really no problem with speaking to the dead. Number 41, Lahashbia et achole. Can you go to a sick person, God forbid life-threateningly sick, and make them promise, Lushuv elav, come back to me after la'achamisa, after you die, lahagidlo et asher yishalato, and answer my questions. Can you say to someone who's dying, I want you to remember after you die, visit me, because I've got things to ask. Mutter. It's allowed. You're allowed to do that. I mean, you have to pick your moment, maybe, with the person you're with, okay? But mutter. Says the Ramah, v'yesh matirim afiru la'achamisa. And you can even do that after the person died. Im einu mashbiya gufa shall meis rak rucha. As long as you're not trying to speak to the body, as long as you're speaking to the neshama. You wouldn't have thought this would be in Shulchan Aruch, right? In Shulchan Aruch, it says you're allowed to address either a live person who's got to be dying or a dead person who's already dead and say to them, come and visit me, I have things to ask you about. Clearly, the Shulchan Aruch doesn't have a problem with speaking to dead people because it's there in black and white. And also the Maharam Shik says, you're not really davening to the dead, you're in the schus of the nifte, etc. So you see many reasons why, even though there were people who were concerned about Doresh al Amesim, you're not allowed to speak to the dead, there are any number of reasons why actually davening at a kever, that the person should be an intermediary, a melech yosher, whatever, and davening on your behalf, is not really Doresh al Amesim, and that's why many, many people actually do it, even though there are some who won't. Next week when we get into the Malachim, we'll see there are also different kind of approaches, with some people connecting strongly to Malachim, and there are other people that won't even sing Baruchuni L'Shalom when they sing Shalom Aleichem on Friday night. I went to a family a few weeks ago, and they sang, Shalom Aleichem, Malachi Ashari, Doachem L'Shalom, and then they went to Seichem L'Shalom, and I said, you skipped Baruchuni L'Shalom, and then I said, you're one of those, right? You don't say Baruchuni L'Shalom. Yeah, they don't say it. Okay? Why? Because you're not allowed to ask Malachim for things. Anyway, that's next week, not for now. A third reason why it may not be a good idea to daven Kivrei Tzadikim is because there may be nobody listening. Okay? Look at this very interesting question. This raises a fascinating question. Do the dead know what's going on in the world of the living? Now, we may never get a real answer to that, at least not in this hour here. But look in Kohelet, number 43. Says Kohelet, Ki achayim yodim shiyamutu. Those who are living know that they will die. V'hamesim einim yodim mu'ma. And the dead know nothing. And the Gemara raises this in Brochas in the following interesting way, number 44. Atanya. Lo ya'alechadu rebeit ha'kvaros v'tfilin barosha v'sefer Torah b'zroi b'koret. You're not allowed to go to a basic forest with wearing tefillin. I think this is very well known. People have their tzitzits out, they should tuck them in, and they're not allowed to learn, read from a sefer in a basic forest. And if you do that, you're breaking the avera of loyeg l'rash, mocking the dead. now brings the story. Rabbi Chiya and Rabbi Yonason, Havushak Leva'az the Beit HaKvaros. Rabbi Chiya and Rabbi Yonason were going to the Beit HaKvaros. Havikar Keshadi Techilta the Rabbi Yochanan Yonason. Rabbi Yonason's Chelet was dragging on the floor. Amalei Rabbi Chiya. Rabbi Chiya said to him, Dalia, put it in. Kedesh Shalai Yomru. We don't want these people to say, Lamacha Bayim Etzleinu. Tomorrow, these people will be joining us in the cemetery. The Akshav Macharpin of Tanem. And now they're mocking us. As if to say they can do mitzvahs and we can't do mitzvahs. Amalei, he said to him, Mi Yadikulahai? Really? Do they know what's going on? Zahaksiv, Vahamaitin, Enam Yodim Urma? Doesn't it say in Kohelet? They don't know. Why? They don't know. If I've got tzitzis, I've got spilling on, they don't know. Amalei said to him, In Karita Lo Shenita. It's not very helpful. He says, if you learn Torah Shebal Peh, you never Torah Shebichtav, you certainly never learned Torah Shebal Peh. Vim Shanita, and if you learn Torah Shebal Peh, Lo Shelashta, you didn't go to Shimosh Chachamim. Vim Shelashta Lo Perushulach, and if you did, you didn't understand what's going on. Ki Achaim Yodim Shemusa, what does it mean that the living know they will die? Elu Tzadikim Shebemisasim Nikruchaim. These are the living that will continue living even after they're dead. The Hamasim Adim Yodim Ulma, when Shlomo HaMelech said the dead know nothing, he's not talking about the dead in the ground. Elu Rishayim, these are the wicked people in the world, Shebechayehem Kruyim Mesim. That even when they're alive, they're called dead. The Tzadikim, even when they're dead, they're alive. The Rishayim, even when they're alive, not called Kach. And therefore, it doesn't mean the dead know nothing. It means the Rishayim know from nothing. But the dead know what you're doing, and therefore put your tzitzis away. And there then follows an entire Amud of Gemara in Brachas Yudches Amud Beis, where the Gemara goes back and forth and back and forth. Do the dead know? Yes, they do. Ah, but maybe they don't because of this. Do they know? Yes, they do. Maybe they don't. Yes, they do. Maybe they don't. Yes, they do. And it's not clear what the bottom line is there. If you read that whole daf Gemara, you're scratching your head at the end, thinking, what do we conclude here? Do the dead yes know, or do they not know? Tosfos seems to say that they do not know. Tosfos seems to say, number 45, the in time of why would you go to a Beit HaKvaros? The Am of a Perik Misha Mesu, the Mesim Loya, the Midi, they don't know anything. Umashim Maskana, the Afilu Avos Olam, even the Avos don't seem to know what's going on in this world. And this is an interesting thing. Yesh Loma, number 45 at the end, they don't know what's going on, but when we daven at the kvarim, somehow they get informed. They get a buzz or an alarm or whatever it is, that yes, they don't really know what's going on in the world, but our tefillahs can actually connect them. This is a very interesting idea. It's very well known that the chuppah, the person who's in the chuppah says that the relatives, this one is here, and that one is here, and this one is here, and maybe under the chuppah is not a place for a discussion of, well, it says in the Gemara, they don't really know, and da-da-da-da-da. So maybe the answer is, whether they do know, whether they don't know, the tefillah of the living can somehow connect them. And therefore, this idea may be relevant, but the idea that the Mesim are not connected anymore is something we have to deal with. By the way, you should just know, this is wild. I only found this out when I was researching for the Shia. The idea that Mesim, when they're, either Tzadikim, when they're dead, are still really alive, there's a Gemara in Ksubas, in Kuf Gimel, that says that Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, when he was dying, said, from now on, even after I die, I want you to still on Erev Shabbos prepare my bed and prepare my light and have everything like it used to be when I was alive. Says the Gemara, because after he died, he came to visit them. Okay? Until eventually people found out and then he stopped coming to visit them. Rabbi Kiva Eger in the Gilyoni Ashas on the site says, not only did he come to visit them, but he was mighty their chiyuv in Kiddush. He made Kiddush for them every Friday night. Ah, he says, but dead people are chofshi from mitzvahs, they can't do mitzvahs anymore. That's only regular people, he says. But the tzaddikim, even after they die, are still chayv in mitzvahs. Where that goes is a great question. There are all sorts of interesting groups in Klal Yisrael that think that people who are dead are alive, or they can do this, or da 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 da. And that Rabbi Kiva Eger is very, very informative. Two last points before we finish. Why might there also be a problem? Says the Ritzvah in 46, you cannot daven at a kever because it is itself lo igdorash. Just like you can't wear tzitzis or a tefillin or learn, you can't daven there because you're mocking the dead by davening. When, says the Ritzvah, it says that they went from on the Tanis to the graveyard, it means they davened in the town and then they went after davening, la'acha tefillah, they went to the graveyard. But you cannot daven in a graveyard because it's mocking the dead. Others say no, if it's in the schus of the deceased, it's not mocking the dead. Three last points. on the last page. The Vilna Gaon says, don't go to a graveyard because it's Kabbalistically dangerous. He wrote a letter to his wife when he was making Aliyah. The Vilna Gaon tried to come to live in Israel. He failed. He didn't make it to Israel, but he encouraged his Talmidim to come, and in that course, that's why we're really here in many ways, the first Aliyot, the old Yeshuv in the 19th century. So he wrote to his wife when he was leaving her, V'tishmo shalo telchi lebeit hakvoros. Klalu klalu. Never ever go to a graveyard. Shisham mitbadkim haklipot. Because there are negative Kabbalistic forces. And also more so for women. And you will know that there are many communities where they will not allow women into the basic forest. Many communities where they will, depending on how Kabbalistically focused they are. And this obviously is a social issue as well. Not allowing women into the basic forest has become, understandably, a flashpoint question as to, is that acceptable or not acceptable today? Terrible things come from going to a graveyard, going to a cemetery, and the Mishnah Berurah brings, okay, you can go, but don't walk within Dalad Amos of the Kever. Which is also interesting, because we're not particular about this now. We're particular not to walk over a Kever, but Dalad Amos, many people get within Dalad Amos. And the last thing, or the penultimate thing, is really an introduction for next week. The Rambam says, and we'll look at this more carefully next time, you can never use any intermediary as a connection to Hashem. That is Avodah Zarah Mamash. And it's one of the Ikrim, it's the fifth of the Yud Gimel Ikrim. If there's any, even a hint that you're using any other thing to connect you with God, that is idolatry. And the Ani Mamin say it very clearly, number 50, Ani Mamin Be'emunah Shleimah, Shabbai Yisbarach Shema Lo Levador Ru'i Litpalel. Only and only to God. The aim really parallel is ulatot. You cannot daven to anything other than God. Is this a problem? Maybe yes, maybe no, probably not. Malachim may be worse. And the last point I want to ask is, the Munkasha, okay, the Minchas Aloza, says, Lefiani and Zaiti, Hazhorel and Mukta. Really, why is everyone asking if it's allowed? It's certainly allowed. Ki aim b'zeh issa adarabah mitzvah. It's a mitzvah to go to the basic chorus. What's the mitzvah? Okay, I'm not getting into that now. But the Nafkamina, the important implication is, well, if it's a mitzvah, am I allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael to go visit a kever? So if it's not a mitzvah, then why are you allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael to do that, B'chlal? But once you say it is a mitzvah, then you can start talking. Rav Kook said very famously, there are enough for him in Eretz Yisrael of great people to go to. You don't have to leave Eretz Yisrael to go to a kever. But as we know, there are people who don't see it that way, and they no doubt have already booked their flights. Yes.
Yes. What should be your behavior there?
Okay, that's not for now. We can talk about that, but that's already another sheer practical halacha.